Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin. And again, no Charles Leger this week, no Bible scholar. So we won't get to hear his super long definitions of what words mean and and all the super long definitions of verses and stuff. But no, he's still taking care of family business. Again, continue to keep him in his keep him in your prayers. Sorry, I couldn't get that out for some reason. But yeah, keep him in your prayers, him as well as his wife and his mother-in-law. And you know, he's kind of playing the super dad role, plus working 60 hours a week. So, you know, I just pray for God to give him strength and some endurance right now, because he needs that. You know, but, you know, with that all said, man, I'm here again, bringing you guys the message this week. I'm here again to share the word of God with you guys. I do want to tell you guys that God is doing something great and marvelous in my life. On a personal standpoint, I have been in a very rough spot spiritually. It happens to the best of us. I've been in a very hard spot emotionally. Again, that happens to the best of us. I won't shy away from that. You guys will know more about, you know, what I'm talking about later on, and some next works to come. You know, God is opening a door for me to do something marvelous, and hopefully, with the work that He's given me, you know, you guys will find some freedom and hope and restoration and some inspiration and some strength to be able to draw from what I'm going to be presenting for you guys, man. So, again, I'm just thankful for the Lord's grace and mercy today, man. So I hope you guys can relate to that. Also, I am recording this joker at the lake today. All right. So if y'all hear boats, if y'all hear some water sloshing around, if y'all hear people in the background, that's because I'm doing today's podcast at the lake. It is a beautiful scenery, man. For some reason, this has been my place of peace. This has been my place of solace. This has been my meeting place with the Lord in this season of my life. So, yeah, like I said, if you guys hear stuff in the background, yeah, it's because I'm at the lake. but, you know, with that being said, man, I wanted to speak to you guys today, you know, just on a topic of just attitude and being judgmental and actually using the right scales to measure how we view other people, right? I think that is a big issue with mankind. This is the reason why we have so much animosity and anger when it comes to presidential election time, when it comes to politics, when it comes to talks about religion, when it comes to, you know, faults between loved ones and spouses and friends. You know, we have a tendency to use inaccurate scales, and what I'm elaborate on just a little bit is you guys may have or may have not heard me teach on this before, but I'm gonna give you guys two scriptures, okay? And then I'm going to break it down to the best way that I know how to break it down. Hopefully, the Lord will allow me to articulate this the way that He gave it to me. Hopefully, that when you hear this, it will cause you to look at yourself, your own actions, and to make the change, right? Make the shift. Otherwise, what's the point of reading the Word of God if it doesn't make any kind of change or transition in our own personal life? So, you know, with that being said, man, I hope that you guys don't take this as me being judgmental. Anytime Charles and I bring you a word from the Bible or from our personal life, it is because we are either walking in it, have walked in it, or we understand that we're about to go through it. So nobody is immune to this. Nobody gets to escape it. Everybody, you know, like there's no exception to the rule as far as this goes. Everybody will be judgmental at some point. Everybody will kind of fall into that level of not a level, but that realm of self-righteousness at some point. You know, that's kind of where, you know, this week's devotional on Facebook came from. Again, I was just meditating and thinking about my life and what's happening right now. You know, just things that I have done based upon me being judgmental and self-righteous. So I can call myself out on it. I'm thankful for grace and mercy, because I could have died in that state. But, you know, He woke me up again. And so, again, you know, you guys have heard me say it before, that every passing second is a chance to turn your life around. So that just depends on your personal attitude about the things that you're going through in life. Without further ado, first scripture comes from Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13. And just to set up this background for this a little bit, When people used to, you know what, let me read this first, then I can explain it to you. So Deuteronomy 25 verse 13 says, you must use accurate scales when you weigh out merchandise, and you must use full and honest measures. Yes, always use honest weights and measures so that you may enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. All who cheat with dishonest weights and measures are detestable to the Lord your God. Okay, so, you know, this particular verse is talking about the way they used to do commerce, right? The exchange of money for goods and services. It was believed that when a person went into a marketplace and they wanted to purchase something, they had a way to measure and weigh things, right? This was how they bought, you know, whether it's barley or flour or bread or whatever it was they were buying. You know, what is being stated in this verse is that it was detestable to cheat the person that you are doing business with, right? So if I wanted to go and buy like a bushel of barley and I put my weights or my scales up there on the table, and if I altered those in such a way where I got more but paid you less for what you charged, I'm cheating you at this moment, right? The same thing when it came to meat and other things. If I fix my scales in such a way where I beat you out of your income, I have just cheated you. I've robbed you, right? I have done a detestable thing in the Lord's sight. I've stolen from you right there before you. Like I was intentionally being deceitful and deceptive. You know, God says this is something premeditated, and it is gross and it is grotesque to operate in that way. And I think sometimes, you know, I think if we dwell in the realm of, you know, being hurt or angry or upset, I think we can actually fall into that premeditation where we are doing deceptive things based upon how we feel. And that's not cool, right? God said that's detestable. So I wanted to bring that to light because of what I'm about to share with you, right? In the next passage that I want to read to you. So both these come out of the Old Testament. All right. So I don't know if you read the story of Jonah, right? I don't know if you read the story of Jonah, but of course, Jonah, he was one of God's main men. And how do I know that? Was because God had called upon him to go to Nineveh to preach a word. He was called to go to Nineveh to do something that God asked him to do. And the thing about it was, God had told Jonah to get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, announce judgment. He says, I have seen the wicked things that they have done. These are truly wicked people, right? But the thing about Jonah is he got up and he went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord, right? He was like, he went down to like the port of Joppa and he had found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and he went on board and he was hoping to escape the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Funny for him to think that he can outrun God, right? But God changed everything in that moment, right? He calls a strong winds, calls a violent storm, and calls a ship to break apart. Upon that, you know, homeboy got swallowed up by fish, right? And then as the story goes, Jonah gets swallowed up by a fish, and in the belly of a fish, he sat there for 3 days. And in the belly of the fish, and you got to think, he had to, his actions had caused him to be in a place where death and stench were there. You can't think of him being in a stomach where there was no bile, like there was no undigested fish. I'm sure that there was undigested fish. Could have been another dead body that got swallowed up. Like, I don't know what was in that fish's stomach. But in there, you know, he was deep, deep, deep below the surface. Somehow God afforded him the ability to breathe. And he afforded him the ability to come out in his right mind and unscathed. And in that belly of that fish, you know, Jonah prayed. You know, he had prayed for what he had done. And he had asked for God to rescue him. And he goes into this deep, sincere prayer. All right. Funny thing is that, you know, God had caused him to be swallowed up by this fish. You know, God had caused a couple things to go wrong. Due to his disobedience. And out of that repentant prayer, God actually put him right where he wanted him. So he gets thrown up on the beach of Nineveh. And this is a great and large city, right? This is a great and large city to where it took 3 days to actually see. But you got to think, like like the Ninevites, like they were barbaric. They were barbaric, you know. If you read the history, you know, you'll see where these guys would tie dead bodies to the back of chariots and drag them through the city, or they would skin somebody and staple it to like the wall of a building, or have heads like cut off and put on stakes. And like, this was a really cruel atmosphere to be in. This was a very cruel city. And so you have to think, you know, Nineveh is called to go and preach this message. More than likely, you know, Jonah didn't have no clothes on, probably bleached white from stomach bile. All these guts and all this other stuff and blood is probably hanging on him. You have to understand that this is something that you got to understand the sight here. But I'm getting somewhere, and I want you guys to understand that, you know, for one, is that the first point I want to make is that, you know, there's no way to outrun God, right? There's no way to get away from him, especially when he calls you to do something, especially when you're called and you're marked and you and God is telling you to do something. If he asks you to do it, there's no way for you to get out of it. You can whine, you can kick, you can scream, lest you just want to live and sit in turmoil for the rest of your life. There's no way to get out of it. You know, and so again, now Jonah has a task to go and, you know, command the Ninevites to fast, and, you know, and to humble themselves before God and pray. And so the king puts out this decree all over the land. He steps down off his throne, takes off his royal robes, dressed himself in burlap. And of course, he sits on a heap of ashes, and then he tells everybody, like everybody's on a fast, like the animals, the herds, the flocks may not eat or drink anything at all. And everyone went through this great sense of mourning because of what has been gone, or because of what God has asked them to do. Right. You know, the message that Jonah preached was so convicting, and it had brought a great city down to his knees. OK. And so I want you guys to understand that even in Jonah's disobedience, he was still used. Even in Jonah's attempt to get away from the Lord, he was still used. Even in Jonah's attempt to just run away from that lifestyle, God still showed him grace and mercy to have such an anointing and such a power when he preached the message that it convicted an entire city, an entire city that was wicked and grotesque and cruel. So I want those of you who are out there, I don't want you to hold yourself in judgment. OK, yeah, you may have messed up, and I guess we're kind of piggybacking off of last week. You may have made a mistake, but I don't want you guys to feel like because you messed up that you're useless, right? Nobody wants to be useless to God. Nobody wants to be without power and anointing for God. Nobody wants to go through that part of life where they just feel like, okay, God, I messed up so bad that I'm just out of sorts. I'm just out of whack. I'm damaged goods. That's not true. That's not what God wants you to believe. That is not what he wants for you. And I want you guys to learn that although Jonah tried to disobey God, he still ended up doing a great work for God. OK, but I am going to read to you Jonah chapter 4, because I want you guys to understand something, that when you are using and we want to use the weights and scales and inaccurate measures, we want to use these in an attempt to highlight what it's like to be judgmental towards another human. OK, so we have all been given grace and mercy for another chance and opportunity to become better people. We've all been given grace and mercy and an opportunity to carry out God's message to the world, to do things that God has called us to do. Nobody is so far gone that God cannot reach you. God will go anywhere to find you because he loves you. He made that sacrifice to you for you. And God, his whole plan throughout eternity or throughout life is to reconcile you guys, myself, back to himself. OK, so his love is great. His mercy is great. And it endures forever. OK, I want you guys to hear that. Right. There's nothing that you can do that make God love you any more or any less than what he already does. And Jonah is an example that even though Jonah was disobedient, he tried to run away. He tried to be, he tried to deliberately. He woke up like God asked him to do something and he deliberately disobeyed God. He deliberately ran from God. OK, but Jonah was afforded grace and mercy to go and still do what God called him to do in the first place. OK, so I want to read to you Jonah chapter 4. OK, and it says this change of plans. OK, hold on. Let me back up for a minute. Let me go to chapter 3 first. OK, It says, when God saw, and this is chapter 3, verse 10, it said, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Okay? He changed his mind. So, which means there are some laws and principles that come with being disobedient to God. There are some laws and principles that when it comes to you disobeying God, there is some destruction headed your way. Let's make that clear. Okay, so in chapter 4, let's start in the verse first. It says, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. And you are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Okay, so first and foremost, there was a conversation already going that had already happened. Okay, before he'd even set out, before he even woke up today and decided he was going to Tarshish, there was already a conversation that had to have happened. And so in Jonah's disgust, he's talking to the Lord saying, didn't I say this before I left that you would do this? So he had already had an attitude about what he had already knew about God to be true. He already had an attitude about it. He already had an attitude because he knew that God more than likely was going to forgive them for their wicked ways. So they must have already had a conversation, and God must have revealed his disgust and his anger and his contempt for them doing the deeds that they did. So because Jonah knew this, he got upset about it. OK, and then he starts listing God's qualities. I knew you were compassionate. I knew that you had unfailing love and that you were slow to anger and that you would turn back, that you were going to turn back against your destruction. What you said you would carry out for them, you're not going to do now. I'm sitting here waiting for the show and you're not even going to condemn them. And so Jonah gets so upset, he goes out to the east side of the city and he made a shelter for himself to sit under. And he waited to see what would happen to the city. So although God had changed his mind, Jonah's going to sit outside the city gates with an attitude waiting to see what God's going to do. Like, I want to see if you're going to do what you said you're going to do. I want to see if you're going to destroy these people. He's looking for a show. He's looking for people to be destroyed by the Lord's hand. And so the Lord had and this is the funny thing. Lord had arranged for a plant to grow there, like and it spread abroad, like over what he had made for himself, because he had made like this little, I'm gonna guess like this little thing to sit under, and it had covered Jonah's head because it was like the sun where he was sitting, like the east of the city was scorching hot. So whatever it was, whatever he had built, it was burning him, right? So God calls a plant to ease his discomfort. Okay, and then God also arranged for a worm the next morning at dawn, and the worm ate through the stem of the plant that God had just caused to grow to ease his comfort. Okay, and so the sun grew hot. God even spoke to the sun and made it a scorching, like he made it so hot. He called for a wind to blow on Jonah, and the sun was beating down on Jonah's head, and Jonah grew faint. And Jonah said, I wish I would just die. And so what we're witnessing right now is we're witnessing Jonah being a drama queen right now. He's not getting his way. He's pissed off. He's upset because he's not getting his way right now. He's ticked off right now because God is not going to do what he predicted. Let me tell you something. If Jonah was meant to be God or tell God what to do, then God would have allowed him to predict the outcome of the situation. And I think this is relevant to us because we sometimes want to predict what God should do to other people who do wrong. We sometimes want to predict how God should treat someone else when we've been afforded the same grace and mercy that we're asking him not to show to others. Okay, so they're still having this conversation. You know, after this after Jonah grows faint and Jonah exclaims death, he wants to die. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? And Jonah said, yes, he retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? How is it fair that when it comes to you doing your dirt, when you do your wrong, that you have the audacity to weigh someone else's sin about what you do. Because in the Bible, it says that we will even be judged for the secret things. We will even be judged for the things that are not displayed in public. We'll be judged for the things that we even think. And you have the audacity to judge someone for what they've done when you have not yet put your own dirt on the same scale. You haven't put your own scale, I mean, your own dirt on accurate weights and measures. So you have the audacity to talk about someone else's infidelity when you have infidelity in your own relationship. You want to talk about somebody else being a liar when you just lied yesterday. You just lied 5 minutes ago, but you want to condemn someone else for what they've done. And guys, this is the problem. This is what God says is detestable, right? The Bible tells us that there is no one sin greater than someone else's. Like, I cannot weigh my sin up against someone else's and say, well, at least I didn't. That is, look, God is making it very clear that it is detestable for you to put your sin up against someone else's and hold yourself in a higher regard than you hold someone else. How is that fair? This is why God asked the question, do you have a right to be angry? Like, do you got a right to talk about someone else's gay child when you haven't discussed that of your own? Right? Your child is promiscuous, but someone else is gay, but you got the right to open your mouth. I mean, like, where do you draw the line? This is why we had the Ten Commandments in the first place, to show that perfection was it wasn't real. Perfection could not be obtained. So why is it that we choose to operate in judgment and talk bad about someone and talk down to someone, and yet we expect the same kind of grace? We expect to receive the mercy and grace that God has to offer, but we don't want to give it. This is the conversation that God and Jonah are having. Jonah says, yes, I have a right to be angry. Yeah, I got a right to be mad, although I didn't create the plant, although I didn't cause it to grow. Yeah, I got a right to be mad. Says who? So God made the point. I created the people down there. They're like, unless I do something, like if I didn't have you go preach the message, they would be living in spiritual darkness. So you would rather have somebody live in darkness than be exonerated from their sin. You would rather sit and watch them burn and go to hell versus see them saved and delivered. So you want to talk about somebody else's dirt. You want to talk about what somebody else did. You want to drag someone else's name through the mud. You want to talk about how someone else is a liar. You want to talk about how someone else is not doing their job. But yet, if we took a microscope and put your life under it, I promise you, we will find the same faults, the same fingerprints on your life as you're putting on someone else's. So how do you find it okay to push someone, to the point of where they feel condemned, where they live in condemnation, where they can't feel the expression of freedom and deliverance? And how do you feel it's okay to continue to push them while they're down, kick them while they're down, talk bad about them, make them feel bad about what they've done? Right? When you yourself have been given the same grace and mercy that is free and available to someone else. Right? But before I get out of here, I do want to highlight a couple of points. One of which is found in Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Okay. There is a reason why Paul said that. Because those of us who have given our life to Christ, we understand that there is no judgment until judgment day. Right? If we look at John 3:17, it says that God did not send his son to the world to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Right? So if we are to operate like Christ, what gives us the right to judge one another? Like, it's one thing to have a conversation with somebody you care about, and you guys are talking about, you know, you're trying to help each other, like, walk righteously and to walk upright and be in one another's accountability. But it is not my job to go to someone and tell them everything that they're doing wrong and make them feel condemned for what they've done, especially when I have dirt in my own life. You feel me? Like that's not okay. Like, that's not right. It's not right for me to do that. And if Jesus had given, like, he gave so many people the opportunity to follow him. He sat with the worst of the worst. And he sat and became part of their world just so he could actually form a relationship. And from what I see, look, he gave everybody the option. Like, he didn't judge them for what they did. He just gave them the option. He didn't make them feel bad for what they were doing. He was just being honest. And it's one thing to be honest with someone about what they're doing, but it's another thing to make someone feel bad and condemned about what they've done without, again, putting your own sin on the weights and measures that you're using to talk to them about that situation. Like, that's not okay. It would not be okay for me to go to someone and highlight all the things that they're doing wrong without holding myself to the same standard. If anything, you find accountability and you say, yo, you're wrong for that and I'm wrong for this. How about I give you the scale to weigh me out on this, and I get the scale to weigh you out on that. But we got to be honest with each other and hold each other accountable. Like, why can't you do that versus going talking bad about somebody? I don't understand the concept of doing such a thing. And again, I'm not saying, guys, that I've never done it. Please don't get it twisted. I'm not saying I've never done it. I'm just saying that God has pricked my heart to help me see it for what it is. Like, he's touched my heart in such a way where I can see it. And because he helped me to see that in myself, I want to expose it to his word so that it can change, so that I can also understand, hey, Keelan, you've been given that grace and mercy. Why don't you offer that same grace and mercy to someone else? Like, I didn't do that for you so you can hold something over someone else's head. I did that for you so that you can go and be that for someone else. And I hope this makes sense to y'all. Like, I hope it makes sense. Because also with that, guys, you have to understand that it does not matter what we do. We've already been forgiven. It doesn't matter what somebody else has done. They've already been forgiven. But I do believe, though, on this walk, one of the hardest things that is hard to do is to forgive yourself. I do think that's hard, because if you are sincere in your repentance and you're sincere about changing and you're sincere about being a better person, if you're sincere about being a better husband, mother, father, coworker, whatever it is, if you're very sincere about that, then you will notice that your ways have caused others pain. Your ways have caused others to be in conflict with their walk. Your ways have caused other people to trip. And if you're sincere about that, sometimes it is extremely hard to forgive yourself, especially when you see the damage that you've done. Right? So in this moment, guys, I mean, pray for the heart of Christ. Pray for God to reveal areas where you are super judgmental. And ask God for the strength and boldness to admit where you're wrong. And apply those steps to change it, whatever he tells you to do, whatever he gives you. Right. So I just wanted to highlight that because, for the past year and a half of my life, the things that I've gone through, I have found it super hard to offer that same grace and mercy. It is one thing to say it for someone else. It's another thing to be able to do it. Right. And so I recognize that in myself. And so that's one of the things that I'm working on. Right. Because at the end of the day, like, I'm only responsible for how I treat people. I'm only responsible for the things that I do to people. I'm only responsible for how I talk to people. I'm only responsible if I'm showing them the grace and mercy that leads them to Christ. Because if I don't, it is very possible that I am holding them in condemnation. I don't get the right to do that. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, and I believe is verse. Let me find it. Start. This is the part that I love. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4, where it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous, boastful, or proud, or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Yo, like this is true love. Like, when you can love people like this, this really shows the heart of God. Like, this really shows the heart of Christ. When you can love people like that, when you cannot keep record of the wrongs and be like moody and irritable and talk bad about them, you know, like when you can operate with that kind of love, it shows them like true forgiveness and love and grace and mercy. Like, that is a real heart of God. Now, I'm not saying if you've been wrong that you have to accept people and take and you know, continue relationship. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that you do have to find a way to operate in that kind of love. And only when, you know, you find a way to operate in that kind of love, it prohibits you from being judgmental. It won't allow you to be. Because if you can love like that, if you can love without keeping a track record of what somebody did or what they said and the times that they messed up, if you can get past that, yo, I promise you, there's no room for judgment in your heart. You can't love and be judgmental simultaneously. You can't love and be wicked at the same time. And I know sometimes we may say, yo, I love the Lord. I love this. I love that. But if your actions don't reflect that, yo, you got to really hold yourself under the light, put yourself under the microscope and say, God, like, yo, what is it that is prohibiting me from loving you like that? And when you put yourself on a scale, you will find that everything is balanced at the foot of the cross. You'll find that all sins are balanced the same in God's eyes. You will find that out, and it will. And when you are truly seeking that, it will free you from being the judge. Because to be judge and plaintiff is hard. You can't be both. So, I mean, that's my nugget for you guys. And I just pray that the Spirit of God has touched you guys. I pray that the Spirit of God has touched your mind and your heart. I pray that the Spirit of God has talked to you in such a way where you understand where you are and who you are. And if there is any fault in you as by means of being judgmental or self-righteous, I pray that God has healed you from that. I pray that God will deliver you from that type of attitude. And I pray that you will love with the heart of God. You will love with the heart of Christ. I pray that that he will give you the same burden that he feels to seek and save the lost. I pray that he will give you that same burden to want to see others healed and saved and restored and reconciled back to him. Because honestly, yo, that is our only mission. There are multitudes upon multitudes. Yo, I thought 120,000 was a lot of people. Yo, we talking about millions right now. We're talking about millions that are living in spiritual darkness. And so if we don't get our act right, if we don't get our side of ourselves, if we don't put down our gavel, then there is no way we can win anybody to the Lord. But as long as we're being judgmental, and as long as we're keeping people locked in their condemnation, and locked in their faults, and not letting them seek and find healing, you know, the only peace that they can get through God. If we won't allow them to do that, then how will they ever get out of this? How will they ever become better? If we always remind them of the faults that they've done wrong, how will we ever do that, right? So again, man, that's my nugget for y'all. Stay tuned for the things that I got coming for you guys. Again, I hope this word touched you in such a way that it causes change. That it reverberates in your spirit, that it takes root, that it is deeply planted in your mind and in your heart. And I pray that, you know, you do see the error in your ways, because Lord knows I've seen the error in mine, and I've prayed about it, and I've meditated on it, and I'm working on that, y'all. You know, again, transparency is the best medicine. So I pray that God reveals what is in your heart that is keeping you from living in the fullness of God. Yo. I love y'all. Episode 5. Y'all have a great week. Peace.